We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A journalist named A.J. Jacobs wrote a book called My Year of Living Biblically. Maybe some of you have heard it. And he took a year and tried to follow all the rules, and he counted more than 700, in the Bible. Now, he said some of the rules he couldn't follow. Some of them he thought were kind of cruel. But he said that by following the rules and trying to do better, he felt he had a new outlook on life. Now, he was not a believer in God, either before or after this year. But he said he had a new perspective on life, particularly when he tried to follow the rule, be thankful. He would try to think every day of what he was thankful for. I think he even prayed. And he said he began to realize something, that before he started doing this, a day could go by when hundreds of things went well for him, but he never noticed them. All he noticed were the three or four things that didn't go well, because he wasn't thankful. So how do we have a thankful heart? I think that's why this story has been preserved for us all these years. This occurrence in Jesus' life was thought to be important enough to pass down through all these generations, because I think it helps us to understand where a thankful heart comes from. It's a story about 10 people, men I think they were, who had leprosy. Now, they didn't have what we call leprosy today, Hansen's disease, which is very dangerous and severe. In the Old Testament and in Jesus' day, they called various skin diseases leprosy. And they weren't they weren't fatal. But the saddest thing about them was that if you had one of these, you were shunned. You were shunned by society. This was a rule in the Old Testament, so this is probably one that Jacobs felt was cruel. You were to live outside the community, wear ragged clothes so that you were identified as a leper, and if someone approached you who wasn't a leper, you were to say, unclean, unclean, so that they wouldn't get close to you. I think probably the hurt of this disease was more in how people treated them, much like diseases, well, not even diseases, there are conditions today. If you have a mental illness or if you maybe have a behavioral disability, you're probably able to function very well. The problem is how people treat you. It's so hurtful, and that's the way they felt. Now, 9 of these people were Jews, and even though they were shunned because they were lepers, they still were the chosen people, and they still probably felt they had sort of an in with God because they were Jews. But one was doubly cursed. He was not only a leper, but he was a Samaritan. And you might know or remember that Samaritans were people who were descended from the Jews that were left behind when the Babylonians took most of the people captive, and this happened 500 years before Jesus. Well, they were left behind in Israel, so they intermarried with other non-Jews, and then they adopted some of the non-Jews' religious customs, so that the Samaritans had the same Bible, so to speak, the same Torah, the same Old Testament that the Jews did, but they did not worship in the temple in Jerusalem. Instead, they built their own temple in a location north of Jerusalem at Mount Gerizim. The Jews considered them to be half-breeds and to have corrupted Judaism, and they hated them. And the Samaritans, in turn, hated the Jews. So the sad situation of this Samaritan who was a leper was probably he was not only cursed by other non-leper people, but he also was hated by his fellow lepers. Well, these people, these 10, watched as Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and they called out to him, called him by name, and asked for pity or mercy. They probably had heard that he could heal, so mercy for them probably meant they wanted to be healed. And Jesus said to them, go to the priests, and they were the purity inspectors, and show that you have been healed, and then you will be welcomed back into community. Every one of the 10 believed that Jesus would heal them, so they headed on this long trip to the temple to see the priests. And on the way, they were truly healed. 9 of them continued on this trip. 1 of them stopped. Stopped this important trip, went back to Jesus, fell down on his knees, praised God, and thanked Jesus. And that one was, of course, the Samaritan. Now, I think we're probably encouraged in this story to imagine, what would we do? Would we be one of the 9 Jews who went on to meet the priests and didn't thank Jesus? Or would we be the one Samaritan that came back and thanked him? Well, you know, the Jews probably didn't come back and thank him because they knew they were the chosen people. And I have a hunch they felt that they deserved to be healed by this Jewish leader, that they had a right to be healed because they were Jewish. And you know, in our society, we constantly hear about our rights. You know, in the Constitution, we have rights. Right to bear arms. We have right to work. We have human rights. We have right to life. We have animal rights. We have the Miranda rights if we get arrested. It would be very easy for us to believe that we have a right to lead a long, healthy, and happy life. And if that's the case, then we kind of expect it. And then maybe we do more act like the Jews that didn't come back and thank. And when you think of it, a right is usually something you have to earn. You have a right to a paycheck because you show up to work. But we haven't earned the privilege of being born. And simply being alive doesn't give us any rights. I think the Declaration of Independence got it right when it said we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, like the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those aren't rights we've earned. Those have been given to us by God. And I think that people are most thankful for things that have been given to them if they least deserve them. You think of a student, maybe, who gets an A in her class, and she really hasn't worked that hard. And she's probably surprised to get it and very thankful. Or maybe you have deeply hurt someone you care about, and in a short time, they forgive you. And you feel like you didn't deserve that grace on their part, and you are so thankful. Well, I think that's probably what the Samaritan felt and why he came back. He wasn't expecting this Jewish healer to really heal him, a Samaritan. And so he didn't feel he had a right to that. And he was surprised and delighted and very thankful. If any people have reason to believe that we have received a gift we didn't deserve, it is we as Christians. Because we know why Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem that day. He was on his way to die for us. And it isn't like we've stopped being selfish. Paul says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We don't really have a right to sit at God's table. We don't really deserve God's love. But Jesus, who loved us so much and wanted us to be with him forever, allowed that love to motivate every word and every deed he carried on when he was here, which led him to die. So that's why when we do what the Samaritan did, when we interrupt our everyday life to go to Jesus in praise and prayer and worship, then God is able to give us the gift of a thankful heart. And not only a thankful heart, but God is able to allow us to live in thankfulness. I'm grateful. That's the way one woman would answer a person when they said, "How are you?" She would say, "I'm grateful." And she did it to remind herself and probably others that she was grateful. She was thankful not just for the few things that might have stood out in her day. She was thankful for all of life. A man said, "My cancer has made me a better person." He isn't thankful that he has cancer. But he is thankful to a God who uses even cancer to show him some blessings and to make him a blessing for others. And finally, I think of a man who is dying of ALS. In his last days or weeks, it was said that he had this mantra: life is good, life changes, life is good. We can give thanks. We live in thankfulness no matter what happens. But because behind whatever happens is a loving God who loves us, has forgiven us, and who saves us in this life and in the life to come. Amen.